I need to talk first of all about about synchronicity around crucial conversations. I am a fool for synchronicity. Gabriel and I began a list of synchronicities about 5 years ago, and we'll gladly share it with you via email if you email us and ask us for it. The first on the list of synchronicities is something that happened to me when I was in a workshop with Sue Monk Kidd. Sue Monk Kidd was going to lead about 200 of us wannabe writers in a writing workshop. And I was writing in my journal as she was preparing to stand and start teaching. And I wrote in my journal, Carl Jung says, notice the synchronicities and you will know you're on the right path. I wrote that in my journal. Notice the synchronicities and you will know you are on the right path. And Sue Monk Kidd stood up, walked to the podium, and said, many of you are aware that Carl Jung said, notice the synchronicities, and you will know you're on the right path. I turned to the woman sitting next to me, and I said, you've got to look at what I just wrote in my journal. And she did, and then she moved away. About 4 or 5 months ago, we put this topic on the worship calendar for this Sunday, crucial conversations. Last Friday, I was in the Landmark Forum in Greensboro, North Carolina, and our trainer got up and said, if you're not having crucial conversations with the people who are important in your life, you do not exist to them, and they do not exist to you. And I said, whoa. We need to have crucial conversations. Jenna gets it. She's already nodding. She and Christian need to have crucial conversations because they're married to each other. Gene and Jay have been together for 18 years. And through the largesse of the United States Supreme Court, they got married this morning. But even after 18 years, you still need to have crucial conversations. And Tim and Craig do. And Bill and Barb do. And Joe and Elaine do. Is it 70 years yet? Have you guys got 70 years? Just about. Just about. With no sign of letting up. What is a crucial conversation? A crucial conversation is a conversation that takes place when the stakes are high. A crucial conversation is a conversation that takes place when you notice your emotions are shifting. One of the things that the book says is when a crucial conversation takes place, one of three things are going to happen. You're going to run, which for a lot of people is just getting quiet. I'll just get quiet until all this is over with. Which I'd use to ruin 2 perfectly good marriages. The second thing you're going to do is turn into a bully. You're going to talk over people. Somebody's going to say something to you where the stakes are high, where you notice your emotions are shifting, and you're going to say, no, wait a minute, I don't think that's exactly the way it is. I'm not sure you understand what I said. Let's back this thing up. I'm going to run over that again, and you're going to listen to me this time because I got it right. The most popular sermon that I have delivered in this sanctuary in the last 6.5 years, according to the guys who make the copies of the sermons in the back, the most popular sermon that I ever delivered was one called, Would You Rather Be Married or Be Right? So that's the second option, to bully through, to say, oh, I'm sorry, you don't understand what I was saying. Look, this is the way it is. If you had listened to me the first time, you'd understand what I was saying, and by God, I'm going to tell you what's going on because I'm right. That's the second choice. And the third choice, you want to go ahead and get that? Because this next one's really good. The third choice is to engage. The third choice is to notice your emotions, to notice whatever fear you may have around the conversation, to notice how you might be sweating or how your eyes might be bulging out of your head. That's always a dead giveaway for me. Notice maybe something's happening in your gut. Notice maybe some of your other bodily functions are starting to change. And stay in that conversation. Not get quiet and shut down. Not bully, but continue an honest, authentic, genuine exchange of information. Let me get it straight. Did I hear you right? Is that what you're saying? Well, if you feel that way, maybe I need to rethink my position. Maybe I'm messing up here. That's a crucial conversation. The book also says, and by the way, I recommend the book, and you've got all you need to find the book on the cover of your order of service. If you'll just take that home with you, you can find the book. The book also says that the most important thing that happens in any organization, relationship, institution, the most important thing that happens is what happens when something goes wrong. You know, when things are going along pretty smoothly, we don't really need to have crucial conversations. We can just say, hi, how are you? Fine. There's a wonderful scene in the movie Bullworth where Warren Beatty plays a United States senator who's lost his mind. Not that that's all that unusual, but this guy genuinely has a mental breakdown, and he begins to kind of babble incoherently. And early on in the movie, his staff is meeting with him, and they're picking up the cues that Bullworth has come unhinged. And right after the meeting, one of his staff members is walking down the hallway, and somebody says, hey, Jack, how are you? And he says, fine, 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 fine. Which, of course, was a lie in that moment. But that's what we like. We like everything to be fine. We like everything to be smooth. We like everything just to kind of go along like it always has. And what's important, what happens in a crucial conversation, is what happens when things go off the rails, when mistakes are made, when people mess up. Then is when crucial conversations are really important. That is the point at which marriages are made or broken. That is the point at which schools are made or broken. That is the point at which law firms are made or broken. And of course, it is the point at which congregations are made or broken. I am at an interesting point in my career. I have told the Board of Trustees and anybody else who will listen that I'm fairly committed to retiring in February of 2018. This congregation needs crucial conversations. We need to start talking now about what we're going to do in February of 2018. We need to start sharing honestly with each other what this congregation means to us. I often ask the question, what kind of congregation do you want to be part of? What do you want to see us doing? What are we doing right? What are we doing wrong? And so often the answer that I get back from many of you is, well, I kind of like it the way it is now. That ain't going to last. The way it is now is fixing to change. And are we going to change it for the better, or are we going to change it for the worse? Are we going to continue to grow? We now have the largest membership we've ever had in the history of this congregation. We are this close to having 400 members. We are the largest Unitarian Universalist congregation in South Carolina. And we are the fifth largest congregation on State Park Road. just to put things in perspective. Let me say just a word or two about the UU World of Children. We have a Montessori school that operates in our basement. 1/4 of its students are on scholarship. 1/4 of its students have been actively recruited from low-income families to have an opportunity for a Montessori education at the ages of 3, 4, and 5 that would be available to them under no other circumstances. This, every time I think about this, every time I process this, I'm close to tears. Because I have seen what happens to kids who come out of trailer parks, not to just put too fine a point on it. I have seen what happens to kids who are hobbled by poverty, who are hobbled by the dysfunctions in our society that often go along with being poor. And the fact that our Montessori school, Maureen Wave, the fact that our Montessori school reaches out to these kids who are living in poverty and gives them a leg up that will affect the rest of their lives, makes me very emotional, makes me very happy, makes me very proud of the Greenville Unitarian Universalist Fellowship. But so what? There's a strong possibility that in March of 2018, I'm going to be gone. And you're still going to be here. So the question is, what do you think of the UU World of Children? What do you think of the fact that 1/4 of our students are scholarshiped? What do you think of the fact that 5 days a week, basically year-round, we offer these kinds of services to children in our community? Is that important to you? Does that matter to you? Is that something you get excited about? Is that something that you're proud of? Are you proud of the fact that we've done 16, 17, and now 18 same-sex marriages in this sanctuary? Does that matter to you? Folks, the world has changed. The world has changed. Do you know what Jean told me about how she was treated in Walhalla, South Carolina, when she picked up her marriage license? Politely, with respect. Somebody has gotten into the system and said, okay, this is over. We're going to be nice to these people. That's not happening in Kentucky. That's not happening in Alabama. That's not happening in North Carolina. But somehow South Carolina has gotten it right. We're going to treat these people with respect. Do you know what I hear about florists and caterers and event planners in South Carolina? They're delighted. Step right up, folks. We'll take care of you. The world has changed. The world has shifted under our feet. And we have been part of that. We helped make that happen. The night before the Supreme Court argued the issue of same-sex marriage, 140 people stood out on State Park Road and held up signs in support of this kind of marriage. And we called out the names of all 9 Supreme Court justices, and we held them in our hearts, and we held candles for them, that they would come to their senses and do the right thing. And the night we did that, those same kind of demonstrations were going on in 300 other cities across this country. It made a difference, folks. What we have done here has made a tremendous difference. I obviously love this place. And I love so many of you. But I have not always called you to your best. I have not always brought my best game. I have not always challenged you to reach for the stars, to give it your all, to make this place even stronger. Because what we've got here doesn't exist anywhere else in Greenville County. There are lots and lots of people who would be here if they knew about us. But we can't imagine telling them, can we? How do you feel about the word evangelical? Not so good. Not so good. I did a sermon up in Hendersonville one time in which I encouraged the Hendersonville congregation, please talk to the people you're in line with at the grocery store. Tell them that you're Unitarian Universalist. Invite them to your congregation. And then I paused and I said, now that I know you're not going to do that, let me give you some other recommendations. Have these crucial conversations. Talk to the people you live with in the same home. Ask, how is this working? Are we getting this right? Are we doing the best we can? Are we being as kind and gentle and loving and forgiving with each other as we can? And then be willing, please, to talk to other members of this congregation. Something beyond what you do for Thanksgiving. Something beyond how you doing. Did you see the ball game last night? Have deeper conversations. Talk to each other. Ask each other, what kind of congregation do we want to be? And then let's be about the work of building that congregation over the next 2 years. Peace.